What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Volume.
The Draymond Green Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. You get payouts in as fast as 2 hours. There's so many bet types. My favorite, same game parlay bets. There's live betting, player props, futures. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. To get started now, sign up. Please use the promo code COLIN. COLIN. FanDuel Sportsbook makes it easy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. This is our 45th episode. And as you know, we are getting settled into this offseason now. But as we know, there is never an offseason in the NBA. I think that's one thing the league has done is you're going to get this NBA just like you're going to get this podcast all the time. And the reality is, in a very roundabout way, it's credits back to LeBron James for the decision, which kind of created NBA free agency as we know it. And here we are. I mean, it's constant news after news after news after news. Now we're in Summer League. You got Summer League kicking off. That'll dominate the majority of July. And then headed into August. August is probably the only month of the year where you get very little NBA. And I think that's amazing when you take into account that there's 12 months in the year. And the NBA has found a way to be important for 11 of those months. I think it's absolutely amazing. And that's where we are. Since we've last recorded, there's been a lot of things that happened in NBA free agency, plus the things that's taking place in the Brooklyn Nets organization with, you know, the Kyrie Irving to the Lakers talks and blah, blah, blah. And then obviously the Kevin Durant requesting a trade, rumors, and all of that jazz. Let's get right into that. Actually, before we get right into that, I know everybody's like, why you have this hat on? Well, number one, it's green. Number two, it's Michigan State green. And number three, it got the Michigan State S on it. What is the significance of the hat today? Well, I am a college graduate, for those that don't know that. So this is my alma mater. But I actually recently just found out that I am getting inducted into the Michigan State Hall of Fame, which is absolutely insane. Our athletic director, Alan Haller, called me and he's talking to me on the phone. And one of my homeboys, Cheese, is sitting there. And I literally got chills down my arms when he told me. And Cheese is sitting there like, dude, you got goosebumps. What's going on? And I couldn't, I'm just sitting there like, wow. Like, Hall of Fame, that's forever. Like, we won't be here forever. Like, we'll leave and, you know, we'll leave this world. But that's a forever thing. Like, as long as this world is here, that's forever. And as a kid who went to Michigan State and everybody told me I was dumb for going there, I would never play there. Like, I'm going to the Hall of Fame. It's absolutely insane. And so I really just want to thank Coach Izzo for pushing me the way he, number one, for recruiting me to be a Michigan State Spartan, but number two, for pushing me the way he did, for tapping into something that I didn't even know could be tapped into about myself and teaching me how to work hard. I can't thank him enough. It's changed my life. And to be going into the Hall of Fame, I mean, that's just, it doesn't get much better than that. So I'm honored. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be in September. And I can't wait. I was told I am the eighth person that was selected to the Hall of Fame the first year of eligibility. So essentially, I'm a first ballot Hall of Famer for you haters out there. And I'm thrilled about it. And I'm honestly at a loss for words right now just speaking about it. So with that being said, I'm going to roll right into this free agency talks. But before we get into that, let's talk Brooklyn Nets. There was something very interesting that I've been thinking about. And the reason I've been thinking about it is because the first thing you saw when it was announced that Kevin Durant requested a trade was the whole narrative starting. KD's running from this. He's doing this. You know, it gets hard. He doesn't stay, blah, blah, blah. And I sat there and I asked myself, if KD did indeed request a trade, is that KD saying, partially, I made a mistake? And I answered the question for myself, because obviously I'm not going to ask Kevin that, or why would I ask Kevin that? But I answered it for myself and I said, possibly yes, possibly no. But regardless if it's yes or no, why does it matter? Like, if Kevin Durant says, I actually don't want to be here anymore, I want to go to somewhere else, why does it matter? Why does that make you weak? Why does that make him, you know, it means he's running from something? I don't understand that. And the reason I don't understand it is because players are in control of their situation. Players are in control of their destiny. And so why is it that it's just not, that's the next step in his career? Because again, I always go back to if a guy leaves Google or if someone leaves Google to go to Apple, after 3 or 4 years, and then they leave Apple after 2 years to go to Tesla, and then they leave Tesla after 4 years to go to DocuSign. No one's going to say that person ran, or that person did this, or that person did that. Everyone's going to say that person did what was best for their career and best for their livelihoods. But us as athletes, it's never viewed that way. And it's baffling to me that it's never viewed that way, because our lifespan with this career is actually way shorter than someone that's working at Google or working at Apple or anyone else in the world, for that matter, that's not an athlete for the most part. Why can't you do everything you can to get it right? Even if that means making a wrong move and continuing on, why is it that athletes are viewed that way? It's baffling to me. It really baffles me that we've put ourselves in a position, we have become the absolute best at what we do, which is, if you're in the NBA, you are at the absolute top of the food chain when it comes to basketball. And if you are the absolute best, like someone at Apple would be, like someone at Google would be, why is it such a bad thing that we control our destiny? But you work that hard to be as good as you can be, to have that power. That's baffling to me. And I'm still trying to figure that one out. So I saw the narratives and I saw all of these things and I'm like, but why is that? And I personally think it goes back to some things that I've said in the past and how people view athletes. How people can't accept the fact that athletes are now businessmen and no longer just playing basketball. And at some point, people have to realize and be able to accept the fact that athletes are businessmen and we make business moves and business decisions because you are operating a business. I am operating Draymond Green, Inc., or whatever you want to call it. So why, if Draymond Green makes a move, a business move, is it not viewed as just that? Let's talk about the move that's made. Is that a good move for business or is it not? But to start calling somebody weak and they run from challenges, that's baffling to me. Because that man has worked his entire life to be in that position to where he controls where he goes next. And by the way, everyone in the NBA can't control where they go next. So to be in that position, to have the opportunity to control what you do next, that's the American dream. That is the American dream. Yet, athletes, Kevin Durant in particular in this situation, is killed for it. And it makes no sense to me. And what it shows me is those that do that, they still have not adjusted to the fact that athletes are businessmen. And at some point, or businesswomen. And at some point, you got to be able to make that adjustment. Because if not, you're going to keep throwing these terrible narratives out there and missing the big picture, which is very simple. We're not just playing the game of basketball no more. This is big business. You see all these contract extensions. Nikola, Joker, Jokic, $270 million in 5 years. For 5 years, guess what? The next one he'll probably sign for $450 million. That's big business. That's no peanuts. It's the largest contract in NBA history. You got to make right business moves when you're making that type of money. People got to realize that. Devin Booker, $224 million extension. Karl Anthony Towns, $224 million extension. Ja Morant, $193 million, possibly $231. Zion Williamson, the same thing. Brad Beal, $34 million or somewhere in that ballpark. Like, that's big business. Darius Garland, 193, could be 231. Zach LaVine, $230 million. You got to make good decisions when you're talking this type of money. And so the fact that guys have put themselves in positions to be the driver of the bus, as everybody say. You got to drive that bus when you're talking these contracts too. Not just how someone wants to see you on the court. The NBA is no longer flying commercial and making $60,000 a year. Yeah, I got me 5 years, 270. Let me do the math. 50 would be 250. Five. That's $54 million a year. You know how many people in the world make $54 million a year? And yet, people still can't wrap their head around the fact that athletes are businessmen. And that's why they drive these terrible-ass narratives. Somebody's weak because they're making a business decision because they're controlling their future as opposed to simply getting the understanding. But at some point, they'll get it. Maybe it's going to happen once you see more and more guys and team ownership. More and more guys and team ownership in other sports, not just basketball. Maybe they'll get it then. But until then, I guess we got to keep listening to these narratives about how a guy's weak and he's doing this and he's doing that. But my hope for all athletes in this position is that you can see past the narrative and that you can understand that you, how important it is for you to make the right decision for your business. It's very, very important. It's way more important than just basketball. This is a business. And make sure you operate in that way. Because if not, you get left behind. And so, big shouts out to all of those guys. And it's not just those guys. Those were huge ones. But big shouts out to all of those guys for getting their contracts. This is what it's all about. You do this, you put your bodies through all of this, you put your mental through all of this, you put your emotions through all of this, ultimately to feed your family, to change the family history, to change what the family looks like and for generations, generational wealth being built. So big shouts out to all of those guys and congratulations. Draymond Green's extension date is August 3rd. So looking forward to that date as well. Could possibly be a good day. We shall see.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball. We do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but...
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Let's talk about some of these trades. I thought the one that really, really, really shocked the world was the Rudy Gobert to Minnesota for Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Leandro Balmero, Walker Kessler, and Jared Vanderbilt. Okay, cool. But here's where the trade gets spicy. For four first-round picks. And I think one or two pick swaps. For those of you that don't know what a pick swap is, that means Minnesota traded their picks to Utah. If a scenario happens where Minnesota's pick is worse than Utah's pick, Utah can then swap that pick with Minnesota to take the higher pick. So trade swaps are actually very, very, very valuable. And I think that's what really tilted this trade is the draft capital that Utah received back. Four first-round picks. That is absolutely insane. Now, what does this trade say to me? And I know Carl Anthony Towns just signed a $224 million extension. But what this trade says to me is Minnesota believes that they have a superstar in Anthony Edwards. If you think about the NBA, what championships used to be was having a great guard and a great big. And it says to me that they believe in Anthony Edwards to carry the torch. Not that Karl Anthony Towns is not important to what they do, because he is important to what they do, or else he wouldn't have got $224 million. And, you know, you could say, oh, well, they gave him that because they don't want to, you know, they want to hold the value. Karl Anthony Towns is an important asset. And if we have Karl Anthony Towns locked up for 5 years and they want to trade him, you can get a lot of value for that. You can think about it from that standpoint, or you can think about it from the standpoint of Karl Anthony Towns is an incredible shooter, shoots 40% from three, so he can stretch the floor. You can think Minnesota's thinking ahead and they're trying to get back big because they may think the league is switching back to two bigs. But the reason it says to me that they want to build around Anthony Edwards is because you go out and you get and you trade all of that away. That means we're in win now mode. We're not planning for the future. And the reason it says Anthony Edwards to me is because Cat's been there. And like now you're making these moves. Like they weren't trading the number one pick when Anthony when they just had the number one pick. They weren't trading picks anytime before that or really after. But they're in win now mode because I think Minnesota thinks that they have a superstar in Anthony Edwards. And by the way, I believe they do. And so you pair him with Rudy Gobert. You pair Rudy Gobert with him, Karl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell. You're saying I can win right now. Now, here's an interesting thing for me also on why I think they went out and got Rudy Gobert is D'Angelo Russell, who's an incredible player, who's my dog, had the opportunity to play with him, as you know. D'Angelo Russell was essentially benched during the playoffs for defense. And so you cover some of that up now with the rim protection by Rudy Gobert. And you allow D'Angelo to be great at what D'Angelo is great at, which is on the offensive end. Now, yes, you still have to compete on the defensive end. Of course you do. But you now have someone there that can erase mistakes. You can erase, you know, if you think about, like, let me take you back for a second. If you can think about if you can think about that Memphis-Minnesota series, Ja dominated at the rim. Dominated at the rim. They struggled to rebound the basketball. So when you think about those things, Jaren Jackson dominated in that series. So when you think about that, they're saying, okay, we're going to go get Rudy Gobert, and there's our fix to cover up those things to where those things that they think cost them a playoff series. And so I thought that was a very interesting move for Minnesota. Now, the downside to that move, you have $450 million wrapped up in the center position. And you could say, all right, Karl-Anthony Towns is moving to the four. But I still can't view Karl-Anthony Towns as a four because fours are 6'2 in the NBA these days. Like, I mean, I'm a center in the NBA these days. And so you have $450 million wrapped up into the center position. If there is a downside, maybe it's that, you know, it's your depth. You know, so how do you continue to acquire and have depth? Now, one way of doing that is to build your young guys. I think they're expecting McDaniels to take another step forward, which I expect he'll take another step forward as well. They re-signed Torian Prince. And so I think depth is where that can hurt in having $450 million into the center position. But like I said, I think they also could see, like, you know what? We're not going to win going small. Let's go big and give that a try. And like I said, most importantly, what that shows me is they are building around Anthony Edwards, who's a young star in the making. And the thing that I love about Anthony Edwards is he got the game, he talk it, he walk it, he got the personality. He got what it takes to be one of those guys. And Minnesota see that. They're going all in on that. And I think it's a beautiful thing. Now, if you're Ant-Man, you got to be in that gym this summer. Because essentially what that's saying is we think we have a star, which means you need to be an all-star next year. You need to continue to grow. And I saw, you know, earlier this year when Ant-Man said, like, I don't know why I wasn't an all-star. Now's your chance because they're going all in. You win games. You produce at the level that we all know he's going to produce at. And there's your bid. And so that was a very interesting move. We'll see how it works out. I'm definitely interested in playing against those guys. I think, you know, for us and our skill set, I think we have some things that we can try to take advantage of against them. But in saying that, I think this move says a lot about where Minnesota is. And I'm not sure we've ever seen Minnesota go all in like this. So it's a very interesting thing, and it's one to keep your eyes out for. Another trade that caught my eye in a major way, and rightfully so, was one of Jackson's Boston Celtics. And the reason that trade caught my eye is because they brought back Malcolm Brogdon, who's a very, very, very good player, who's been 50-40-90 before in this league, who is a point guard, can shoot the ball, great size, good defensively. The reason that trade catches my eyes is because I think it adds to something that Boston was missing, which is, number one, their depth. Number two is versatility and options at the point guard position. I don't think they had many options at the point guard position in this past playoff run that your Warriors just won. And I think that gives them that. Now, let's look at what they gave up. They gave up Daniel Tice, who probably played all of 10 minutes in the NBA Finals. Aaron Nesmith, who played probably all of 10 minutes in garbage time in the NBA Finals. And a 2023 first-round pick, top 12 protected, which you have to assume is going to be pick 28, 29, 30, 26, 27, 26 to 30. If the Boston Celtics have the year that most people will expect them to have, the year that they should have coming off an NBA Finals run, that pick is end of the first round. And so I thought that was an incredible move by the Boston Celtics. I got to give them a lot of credit to go out and find a guy like Malcolm Brogdon. And see, the thing is, you go out and you get a guy like that from a team that's not really trying to contend right at this moment. And that's where you can swoop in and get a guy for not very much. Because sometimes teams would love to get off that salary. I think Malcolm Brogdon is probably making close to $20 million a year. So if you can get off that salary, get a first-round pick back, even if it is 26 to 30, because, you know, the reality is the Indiana Pacers will probably be in the lottery again next year. So now that gives you two first-round picks, and it helps them build the way that they're probably going to try to build. With a young Tyrese Haliburton, you can continue to build through the draft. He's still on a rookie deal. And so I thought that was a very interesting and very good move by the Boston Celtics. I can't say that I loved it, being that it's a possibility we may meet them in the finals again next year. But as an NBA fan, I think that was an absolutely incredible move by Boston. I think that's one that lets you know, hey, we're not satisfied with losing in the NBA finals, nor do you expect that the Boston Celtics, an organization with 17 championships, would be. They're showing you right away, we're trying to get better, we're improving, and we're trying to get back there. So take my hat off to them for that move. I thought that was a great move and probably top three best moves over the course of the last week or so. And arguably, depending on what happens, could be the best trade. If Boston go on to win a championship, you look back at this summer and you're like, wow, that was the trade of the summer. Unless, of course, Kevin Durant does get traded, which there's no guarantee that a guy with 4 years on his contract will get traded, even if they request it. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But right now, as it stands, that could be the trade of the summer. We shall see. In other news, your Golden State Warriors made some moves. Number one, I want to say congratulations to Gary Payton II, GP2. Well-deserved, man. At 29 years old, a guy who's continued to grind and grind and grind. I was looking at GP's Wikipedia a few days ago and just, like, looking at the teams that he's been on, like the G League, you know, gone through the G League, and never quit. And to be rewarded with a 3-year, $28 million deal, extremely happy for him. Not happy to see him go, but always happy to see guys get their money. It's like I said, that's what this is about. Obviously, it's about winning. It's about being great. But ultimately, this is our job, and this is how you feed your family. And so to see GP get what he's due, I thought that was absolutely amazing. I'm happy for GP. Congrats, champ, my brother. Good luck to GP. Otto Porter is headed to Toronto on a 2-year deal. I'm not sure how much Otto's deal was worth. I never came across. I was looking all over the internet, and I just kept seeing 2-year deal, 2-year deal. But I thought that was huge for Otto. I'm very happy for Otto. Congratulations, champ. Otto's wife has been reported. I wouldn't say this if it had not been reported, but his wife, being from Toronto, had an opportunity to be in her hometown. I think that's amazing for Otto to come to the Warriors and reestablish his career the way he did this year and help us win a championship. We would definitely miss him, his shooting, his length, his competitive nature that he brought to us all year. But get your money. It's all love. Congrats, my brother. Looking forward to Otto continuing to do great things. My brother Juan Toscano Anderson headed to the Los Angeles Lakers. I think that is an incredible move by him. I think that's an incredible move by his agent. And here's why. Number one, as I think the Lakers need those types of guys, Juan type of guys who would get in, get it out the mud, do all the dirty work. I think that's big for them from that standpoint. On the flip side, Juan, as a Mexican-American, as we all know, there is a huge Mexican population in Los Angeles. So how can he then capitalize on that front? You know, Juan has done plenty of things in Mexico to help the community. How can he continue to bridge that gap with the Mexican fan base and the Mexican community in Los Angeles? Again, we're talking business. This is business. This is not just a basketball game. You look at it from a business standpoint, I think that's a great business move by Juan, on top of, most importantly, being an absolutely incredible basketball move. You had an opportunity to play with three Hall of Famers and LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook. Anytime you have LeBron James on your team, you are a threat to compete for a championship. And Juan can help that. And so I think that was absolutely incredible. Shout out to Juan, my brother. Good luck, champ, on your journey. As you know, we tapped in for life, my brother. Damian Lee to the Phoenix Suns. I think that is a very good move for Damian Lee as well. That is a very structured team that Monty runs. D. Lee will fit right into that. He'll understand. He knows the game. He's been in this environment with us for 4 or 5 years. And so I think he'll do well with that. I think that'll be really good for him. And then obviously you still had an opportunity to compete for a championship as well. Congratulations to my brother D. Lee. It's been an incredible 4 years, man. Much love, champ. Go get it done, brother. Another loss that was huge for us was losing Belly, Nemanja Bjelica. He is headed back to Fenerbahce in Turkey. And I'm a little hurt by this one. Had an opportunity to create a really good relationship with Belly, and quite frankly, one that'll last further than him playing basketball or myself playing basketball. But I think for Belly, this was more of a family move than necessarily a business move. You know, Belly has 2 young children, and to be closer to his family, obviously, you know, for those of you that don't know, Belly is from Serbia. And so to be closer to his family sucks for us. It definitely sucks for us because I thought his versatility and what he brought to the floor for us, another playmaker on the court, and then obviously the way he stretches the floor, I thought that was really good for us. And to lose him, I think that one stung a little bit. Nonetheless, extremely happy for him. He's back closer to his family, which I understand how important that is, having a family of my own. I wish Belly well. Brate, we love you, man. Good luck in Fenerbahce. And I hope to catch one of them games. I definitely want to get over there and catch a EuroLeague game, so hopefully I can. Good luck, Brate. Now, for those Warriors that are staying, for those Warriors that are incoming, shout out to my brother, Kevon Looney, on a 3-year, $25.5 million deal. Third-year team option with $3 million guaranteed. I thought that was an absolutely amazing deal for Loon. I'm extremely happy for Loon. As I've told you all before, the most professional guy I've ever played with from day one. Like, not like he grew into this, like he got into the league and figured it out. I can't recall a day he's ever been late. I can't recall a day he's ever complained. I can't recall a day he didn't do more than anyone ever asked him to do. And, you know, for a guy who comes into the NBA and have 2 hip injuries right away and to essentially derail your career before it even started, at 19 years old, you got to think about what does that do to a kid at mentally at 19 years old? And then you go back to me telling you, the most professional guy that I've ever played with. It makes sense. Because the reality is most people would crash in that moment. You know, you go through two hip surgeries, beginning of your career. Kevon Looney was a 30th pick. So when you think about the NBA, it's like you get these lottery picks, and these teams really want to see those guys be successful. Why? Because for the GM, if I draft a guy with a lottery pick and he goes on to be successful, that's my guy. Like, I drafted him. Teams take pride in that. For a guy who's a 30th pick, if it works, great. If it doesn't, so be it. So to go through 2 hip surgeries, miss plenty of time, come back from that, and become who Kevon Looney has become in the NBA, absolutely amazing. And like I said, not many guys, if any, could do that. And it's a testament to Kevon and his hard work. And to see him rewarded for his hard work is absolutely amazing. I'm happy for Loon. But also to see him back on our team and understanding and knowing what he brings to this team, allowing us to play the type of defense we play, which was extremely vital into us winning a championship. I mean, we saw the games Loon had. Everybody saw it. And so you're always happy to see the good guys get rewarded. And for Loon, I think that was huge. Happy for him. keep going, brother. As you know, we're going to need it. Warriors also signed Dante DiVincenzo to a 2-year, $9.5 million deal, which I thought was a great pickup. Steph and I definitely put the four-court press on Dante. And understanding how important that addition is. You know, with losing GP, you add another wing who can defend. Dante can shoot the ball. I think he's going to get more open shots with us than he's ever gotten. And that'll be absolutely incredible. I think he'll have an opportunity to show his athletic ability. I think this will be really good for Dante, and I think this will be really good for the Warriors. So I'm absolutely happy about that signing. And then also a guy who knows how to play winning basketball. He comes from the Milwaukee Bucks organization. Now, obviously, he just was recently in Sac, but spent years in Milwaukee. He is a champion. And so very happy with that sign, and I thought that was an incredible move for us, and I think he will help us out tremendously. And that is pretty much the moves that were made that really caught my attention and that I think really moves the needle for teams. And so we'll see. As we know, free agency is kind of at a halt as this Kyrie and Kevin Durant situation plays out. So we'll see what happens from here. And also, shout out to JaVale McGee, who's a former teammate of mine, champion, 3-year, $20 million deal with the Dallas Mavericks. That definitely helps swings the pendulum. As you can see, the last 5-6 years, any team that's trying to win wants JaVale McGee on their roster. I think that is a huge addition for them. And because JaVale McGee is still probably, I think, in my opinion, the best lob threat in the NBA. And you got someone that can pass the ball like Luka. Luka's now putting that pressure on the rim with a lob threat like JaVale McGee. Absolutely amazing move. So that was a move I loved as well. That's all I got for you on free agency. But before we get out of here, Michael Rubin throws the absolute best party I've ever been to. 4th of July in the Hamptons, Michael Rubin's party. I don't think there's any other place for me to be any 4th of July moving forward between my best friend Danny's house there and Michael Rubin's party. Absolutely amazing. I mean, where can you go? And now, here's what we were told. Miguel would perform, Uzi would perform, and Lil Baby would perform. That turned into Drake performing, Dirk performing, 21 Savage performing, Meek Mill performing, and I'm pretty certain there's a few others that I am missing. Absolutely incredible. Everybody who's anybody was there. Jay-Z was there. Beyonce. I mean, how do you get all of those people that he had in that room in the room? The party was amazing. It didn't end so well for me at the end of the night, but I had a good time. Hope everyone enjoyed their 4th. Until next time, that's a wrap from the Draymond Green Show. Guests will be returning soon, so look out for that. But until next time, I'll talk to y'all next week from Summer League. Peace.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.